Welcome to the Fantasy Fight Night podcast. I am your sexy host, Adam, and my blurry friend is Andy.
I fixed it. I'm no longer blurry. I am Andy.
Oh, okay. It's still showing blurry for me. I assume the audience would see the same. Yeah.
Well, we are the proud hosts of the Fantasy Fight Night podcast. You are on another podcast, the Kurt Crew Fantasy Podcast. I am on another podcast, the Bet Bath Beyond Podcast. You can find the Kurt Crew Fantasy Podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also find the BB&B Podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, also on YouTube and on the B3TSports.com website. Also, if you're listening to this and you would like a chance at a free NFL jersey from B3T Sports, check out B3TSports.com/contest. You can enter there and it runs. You only got a couple days left. It runs to the end of September, so go ahead and check that out.
And again, I can't win it.
You know, you can't
so
win it.
Disappointing. It's dumb.
What a week of football. There was some crazy stuff that happened this week.
Yeah.
Chiefs
lost Justin Tucker's field goal. They had no delay of game right before that.
Yeah. That was something.
I'm sorry, Lions fans.
I'm sorry for Lions fans because, yeah, that sucks. But also, they had him at 4th and 19. Like, if you want to win the game, like, without a doubt, just stop him.
Oh, absolutely.
19. You know, I don't know why they played zone coverage. Whatever.
Hollywood Brown also should have put that game away for them several 100%. times. So,
And Dan Campbell even said it. I mean, like, so they're going to get – he's like, we're probably going to get a letter from the league that says, we're sorry, like, we missed the call. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. And he's right. It doesn't matter. But anyway, want to move on to our stat of the week.
Yeah. So this one hurts me, but I have to share it. There are two players that had the same amount of total passing yards. So if you account for sacks as well, had the same amount of passing yards. That would be Justin Fields and Mitchell Trubisky.
Yeah.
One of them is a starter and played the whole game. The other one threw one attempt.
I don't know about played the whole game. They were out there the whole game. But it was rough, that Bears offense. And I blame Matt Nagy 110%, without a doubt. Like,
it I just blame him and Ryan Pace, the personnel, the line that we have. Right. Even if Tevin Jenkins was healthy,
it still would have been. I think that would have been too much. My stat is through 2017 to 2020, Sean McVay led the league in play-action pass rate with 32% of all dropbacks being play-action pass. Granted, he had, you know, Ty Gurley for a lot of those years. But this year, he is, like, I want to say 19th in the league. I mean, it's dropped off significantly to 25% of his dropbacks are play-action passes. I don't think that he's changing his offense necessarily because of their running back personnel. I think he can make their running backs work. We've seen him run several different running backs, and it seems like it is working for them. I think that he just has that much more faith in Matthew Stafford being able to make the right call at the line of scrimmage, being able to audible, and to actually just run straight pass sets. I think Stafford is definitely worth the price that they paid. I am really digging this Rams offense.
Hey, I said Tom Brady would be the QB1 overall, which was just, you know, dumb. But I said Stafford, I think I called him out at top eight. You know, Jared Goff was insane in that offense when, in his most efficient year, Stafford's least efficient year is better than Jared Goff's best.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Stafford is phenomenal. He's really good. I know he's a little older now, and he has, like, that lingering thumb injury all the time, it seems. But before he got hurt last year, he was an Iron Man. He played, like, 8 or 9 seasons of 16 games straight. He's a tough dude. So there's a game going on right now. It is the Cowboys-Eagles game. Do you have any games riding on players tonight?
Yes, I do. I need in full PPR. I need Jalen Hurts and Ezekiel Elliott from this point forward to score 10 more points than
That's
Miles
doable.
Sanders and Devonta Smith. So
10 more. Okay.
The Hurts one is hurting me. I had the option of Hurts or Prescott, and I thought it would be a ground game by the Cowboys. So I started Zeke, which is a good thing. And I thought that they would be able to throw all over the place. And Hurts is not doing that right now.
No, he is running a bit, but not anything crazy.
Three carries for 3 yards.
Yeah, well, one of those was one of those he ran a lot more than the yards he actually got. It was so one around the outside. I have faith that he'll be all right for you.
Yeah, I hope the second half he comes back here and doesn't go to Devontae Smith.
I don't have any games riding on tonight. I have players playing in the games, but those games are already decided. I've either I had in my 10 leagues, I went 7-3 this week. My three losses were, I got just destroyed. Like one of them was just brutal. Well, I take that back. Two of them were disgusting. One of them, I only lost by 10 points. I was the second highest scorer in the league, lost to the highest scorer in the league. I hate those weeks, but it just happens. So I'm kind of just enjoying football at the moment.
Yeah, I made a mistake actually against you, and I wasn't sure if they were going to let Odell be a full go.
Yeah, that was weird, in my opinion, the way that they...
Yeah, just with how they handled everything. So I listened to a couple of analysts, and they said, play somebody else. And I thought, Giants have been chucking the ball over the field. The Falcons are terrible. I'm just going to take a shot on Darius Slayton, hope he gets like a 30-yard touchdown.
Yeah.
And if I had played Odell, I would have beat you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I was really excited because just before this week, I traded in that league to get Darren Waller. Because I was like, I would love, because I wanted Higbee. And then like not even 24 hours later, you were like, I'm going to trade for Kyle Pitts. Which I was like, please, Adam, shut up and just let me win. but honestly, both Waller and Pitts were both not very impactful this week. So,
yeah.
Let's run through the injuries. If I miss one, I want you to shout at me here, but just really quick, Christian McCaffrey left the game with a hamstring injury. It is said to be like less than grade one. He's not going on IR. KJ Hamler, he did tear his ACL. He's out for the year. Giovanni Bernard had a phenomenal outing, with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but then on the last play of, that drive, he looks like he sustained a knee injury. From what I understand, it's looking like 4 to 6 weeks for that, but nothing official has been released.
Hyperextension is what they're looking at.
But that's better than a tear, so, I mean.
Yes.
Juju took a rib shot. He is week to week, or he's day to day, I guess I should say. A.J. Brown left the game with a hamstring, and he did not return. Darius Slayton left the game with a hamstring. James White hurt his hip. And Rob Gronkowski, he did return, but he also took a rib shot.
Yeah, and then for news, Josh Gordon.
Josh Gordon. And he's
Kansas City Chief.
Well, I don't know if it's official yet, but it sounds like that's exactly where he's going to sign.
Yeah. Adam Schefter put it out there. He's Kansas City Chief.
I don't know if – okay, so just speaking from experience, I wish him the best. I hope that he doesn't relapse, but – My prediction here is that he's going to play 3 to 5 games and then not do much else and then find himself not in the NFL anymore. So, I mean, if he has anything left, will he be impactful? Maybe. I mean, I think it hurts Tyreek and other pass-catching options more than it, like, makes me want to sign Josh Gordon. But I don't know. What do you feel about this?
Yeah, it hurts them more. If he has any of his speed and ball skills, though, he becomes very interesting.
Because
you have a jump ball guy. Like, Tyreek is a jump ball guy, but he's 5'10". Yeah. Josh Gordon was like almost that as fast as him and has so much more size to him. So it's just better for them as a team. Fantasy, we'll see if he can become relevant. Switching offenses, doing all
that's
the
a big thing.
Josh Gordon things, yeah.
Other news, if you had any kind of hope for Dan Arnold for a shot in the dark, Panthers traded Dan Arnold to the Jaguars. They got CJ Henderson, which, I mean, is good trade for them. Not really fantasy relevant on the Panthers side, but
I would actually go back and say that Dan Arnold actually has a better outlook now with the Jags. They've targeted a lot, and Manhurts is their best. And the Jags tried to get him in free agency. Sure. He literally just preferred to go with the Panthers. So the Panthers were like,
right,
sorry, dude, Tommy Tremble's now, the
That's what I was going to bring up. Tommy Tremble is, I mean, the way that they used him. I mean, Matt Rhule described Tommy Tremble as this year's Jeremy Chinn, which means that, to me, that says they want to get him involved and get him, you know, touches in this offense. The fact that they're shipping out, they have three tight ends, so now they're down to two. I think that if they want to get him involved, they just open the door for it. I'm not calling a breakout or anything, but he is an athletic dude, and if they're going to use him not only for tight end plays but also as gadget plays, he could be a sneaky start in the right matchups, you know, if you really need that. So you want to go over the top. So last week they were all of our scores were based off of our Dynasty League. Like, there are a couple of things in there that are like extra bonus points for 40-yard receptions and blah, blah, blah. Now these are all going to be based off our League of Record or half PPR league. So we're going to go over the top five QBs this week. And this is without, obviously, the Monday night game wrapped in here. If Dak or Jalen go off, I mean, it'll be adjusted.
They're not reaching these numbers right now.
Well, they're definitely not reaching out. So Josh Allen is one at 37.2 points. Justin Herbert at two, Matthew Stafford at three, Tom Brady at four, and Patrick Mahomes at five. Tom Brady only had one passing touchdown. He's still stuck in the top five.
Yeah, because he had a rushing touchdown.
He did have a rushing touchdown.
He was also the Buccaneers. He was the top
rushing scorer.
Yeah, he was the top rusher for the Bucs with 14 yards. So,
yeah, I mean, that defense is hard to run on. We knew that'd be a thing. They don't have a decent running back, really. I mean, like, Leonard Fournette is not what he was labeled as. Gio got hurt, and he's not really a runner anyway. He's more of a pass catcher, and I don't know if they're done with Rojo or what, but that's a whole other thing. I think that Josh Allen finally came out and played like he is supposed to. I mean, I know he had some rough weeks, but, I mean, this looked solid. Stafford obviously looked great, four touchdowns. Patrick Mahomes, I mean, he still was top five on the week, and he still looks good. I mean, what does he have? He has, like, four, five, six, seven. He probably has, like, what, nine touchdowns, I'm going to guess, on the season so far. He's just not what I've expected from him with his weapons and all that sort of stuff. I thought maybe he would definitely be leading or top three.
They've been off for the past 10 weeks, so.
What's that?
He's been off for like the past 10 weeks, so. I think he's still a little traumatized by that offensive line.
That Super Bowl.
And, yeah.
Well, their offensive line doesn't look that much better to me, honestly.
I think they just need some time to gel.
That could be.
But you also have to put in perspective the offensive line. Clyde Edwards-Helaire had 100 rushing yards last week.
He did. He also had two fumbles.
Yeah, which is like the one thing he's not supposed to do.
Right.
He didn't do it in high school or college.
No, he didn't do it at all last year in
the NFL
either.
He's had three in 2 weeks.
I think he might be in his own head. We'll see. I'm not out on Clyde like as a talent, as a player. I mean, he was talented at LSU. I think he is a decent running back. I don't know if he's I don't think he was the best in that class by any means. But I think he is better than what they are using him for. We'll see how the season goes. You got to remember, they mentioned this on a couple other podcasts that I listened to, that if you have a week one and two like he did, if you would have had it in like week 8 or 9, we're not talking about it so much, but you know, when it happens in week one and two, you kind of start to go, you get nervous. But he was fine in week three. I'm not out on Clyde yet. Wide receivers: Mike Williams, Devontae Adams, Cooper Kupp, Justin Jefferson, and Emmanuel Sanders at five. I think, like, okay, so Mike Williams moving to the X is the best thing that's ever happened. Well, one, it's the best thing that's ever happened to him, moving to the X. But the second best thing is that he hasn't been injured. So, I mean,
well, in how they're using him, he has all the size and speed, but he doesn't have to just make these insane catches to get involved in the offense.
Right.
He is being utilized in a way that he is not putting his body on the line every single time. So,
right. I've got, and I mean, and Justin Herbert seems to really like him. So, I mean, that's – I'm all in on Mike Williams. I have him in a lot of leagues. Devontae Adams had also a great game. 18 targets for Devontae Adams. If you give that man 18 targets, there's no way he's not a top three wide receiver every single week. Like, that's just – that is going to happen. So,
yeah.
Cooper Kupp, again, it's those breakfast meetings with Matthew Stafford every day.
He watched Hunter Renfro's route, the Hunter Renfro route, as everyone's mm-hmm. calling it, and it's a college thing. It's not typically that, but he modified it.
Sure.
He just turned to McVay. He's like, hey, can we do this? It's like, yeah, dude, just do it. He's like, this is great stuff. So literally, McVay has turned his offense over to Stafford and Kupp and been like,
right,
just make it better. And coaching at its best. The anti-Matt Nagy. The anti-Gase. Actually, no, I have to give Gase credit. Because Gase was like, Peyton Manning, just do your thing.
See, yeah, dude, you changed your fantasy name in a lot of our leagues to Nagy equals Gase. And I was like, wow, that is brutal.
I'm just done. I was so confident in the Bears last year. We drafted Fields. I didn't make a single bet on the Bears this year. I made, what, three of them last year? Three bets, and they all came out barely.
Because
I was such a passionate fan, and it came through because I believed in the defense and that Trubisky could get enough done. With what they have done with the personnel, I had no faith.
None. If tomorrow there's a big tweet and a big announcement, Bears extend Matt Nagy 2 years. Do you change teams?
Yes.
Yeah, you're out. I was curious. I mean, I was curious because I'm watching that and I would not be having a good time. I tell you what.
I would immediately become a Cowboys fan.
Yeah. I was actually at the Vikings Seahawks game on Sunday. Jefferson is just incredible. He is just amazing to watch in person. He is that dude. And the final thing I want to talk about, Emmanuel Sanders snuck into the top five here. He looked really good. He had two touchdowns. Anytime a wide receiver gets two touchdowns, you're going to be in the top five probably. But Stephon Diggs has been held to under 70 yards, I believe, in his first three games.
Are you worried? Buy low, 10 targets a game.
I'm with you. I just wanted to bring
everyone's
it up.
Everyone's just mad that he's not burning everything down like he was last year. If you can get him for, I mean, even, they propose this, Mike Williams, give me Stephon Diggs for the rest of the year. Right. Sorry, Diggs is the better talent.
Yeah.
Even if they were drafted. All right,
running
like
back. Or do you have anything more you want to add to those top five wide receivers? Anything major?
We can go forward. I know. Nothing else to add.
Oh, did we lose you?
You kind of gave me the silent treatment for a little bit.
Yeah, I think we lost you. Okay. Sorry, we lost you there for a second. We're back now, though.
No, I was just saying we can go on to the running backs.
Oh, perfect. Najee Harris at one, Kareem Hunt at two, James Robinson, Swift, and Alexander Mattison at five. First and foremost with Najee Harris, 95% of the snap share. That's great. He looked terrible on the ground. He did not look good on the ground. 2.8 yards a carry, no touchdowns, on 14 attempts. That is atrocious. But he got targeted 19 times because they don't have another guy to catch the ball besides Chase Claypool when Juju went down. He caught 14 of them, 102 yards, still no touchdowns, but that would save anybody's week. Now, this shows me that he is capable of this, but, I mean, I don't expect this every week. No one could.
No, it's Big Ben's done.
Yeah, who are they going to play? Haskins, you think?
They have to. With that defense, those weapons, he has a shot, but that offensive line, Haskins at least has mobility. Big Ben tripped a couple times over grass.
Yeah. No, he did. The turf monster.
Yeah, it was ugly.
Kareem Hunt looked efficient. James Robinson looked good. He reminded me very much of what he was last year. The thing that concerns me is the 59% of snaps.
Sell the crap out of him.
Right?
Sell the crap out of him. Oh, my goodness.
If this would have happened on 70-75% snap share, I would be calling for, okay, Urban Meyer's figured out that this is his best running back by a long shot, and he's going to use him effectively. But as long as Carlos Hyde is there and they're going to be splitting this share, you're going to be just plugging in, you know, you're going to be putting in Robinson and just hoping that you get a good week from him, and that's just bad.
They just added Dan Arnold. LaVisca will come back healthy. The six targets are not going to be a repeatable stat for him, and he's not going to run for 88 yards every week. This is the worst team in the NFL.
Yes, I would agree. This is definitely the worst team in the NFL. Swift had a great game. I mean, 7 for 7 on the receiving yard. I mean, yeah. I just think that this is a great game when you're getting 56% of the target share. I think, like, if they're willing to bump that up a little bit.
If people had advertised him for what he is Austin Eckler with draft capital.
Right. No, I agree. That's what
I would have bought into him so much differently. I couldn't see the path of him catching so many targets. I didn't see this happening, and it's worked out well for it's put them in games. You have to give all the credit of the world. They get the ball to the guys who are really
they play
good.
Teams hard. The Lions are not a good team, but they play teams hard. Like they that is a team that has bought into their
new
head coach.
They are going to beat the Bears next week, and then Nagy will be fired and Pace will be fired. They will clean house, and I will be weeping with joy.
That's actually an interesting – I might pick the Lions in my I have a 10-team parlay that I do every single week just for fun. You drop $5 on it, and you hope for the –
Hey, I hit a 7-team parlay last week.
So far on the on the year, so what I do is I take my 10 team and I break it down into three teams as well. So that way it's like,
yeah,
I can hopefully get the ROI back, but like I still hope for that lottery ticket.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I would be not that shocked if the Lions beat the Bears.
I had a 15. Do you know what my only loss on it was? I got 14 of them.
What was it?
The Bears.
That's what you get, baby.
I thought just maybe that defense, if the offense came out and was just okay, our defense would do enough.
Speaking of,
I put down $2. I could have walked away with $3,500.
Speaking of one injury, game away. Khalil Mack went to the locker room during.
He came
game,
back
did
in.
Not? He came yeah, back. Okay, that's what was I didn't hear.
He came back in, got a sack and a half. He's fine.
Speaking of sacks, oh my God, Myles Garrett. Jadeveon Clowney, and Jalen Hurts just threw a pick six.
Did he really?
Yep. Anyway, the fifth, Alexander Mattison. I was kind of I didn't know how I'd feel about him playing over with like Cook being out, but he did really well. 68% of the snap share, 112 yards on the ground, 59 receiving yards. Not a touchdown. A touchdown would have definitely. I had him in a lot of DFS contests. But I thought he looked good. I think he's a good back. He's shiftier. The one thing that I noticed when I watched him in person was that there are three backs in the league, maybe four backs in the league, who when they hit the line, they always hit it like 100% hard. Like it's Cook, Barkley when he's healthy, Christian McCaffrey, and Ezekiel Elliott. They always put their foot down and they always hit the hole 100% with their shoulder. So that way, even if they're tackled on the line, they're falling forward for 3 yards or 2 yards. Mattison does a lot of trying to elude, and not that that's bad if that's your style. That's definitely his style, but I just noticed that their line does not block for that. Their line is not good enough to block for that. So, do you have anything running back wise you'd like to talk about?
Yeah, I just need Zeke to like rip off a 40-yarder.
See, that Zeke sucks Louise. Too. That's a double whammy for you needing those points, because like Hurts throwing the interception for a pick six, that's minus 2 points for the interception, and it keeps the Cowboys offense.
Well, I mean, Hurts has to come back out and throw, and so it's not going to go to Miles Sanders, so I have to hope that he comes back and scrambles, gets the points needed. The sad thing is I should have started Derek Carr and just been safe.
Yeah, I was actually surprised you didn't start Derek Carr against the Dolphins.
Except for, you know, that secondary is crazy.
It is crazy, but the Dolphins have just been bad. Yeah, I mean, it's...
They got Derek Carr's been good without their quarterback, and then they just took the Raiders down to the last second. Not anticipating Derek Carr averaging 400 passing yards and two touchdowns every week.
Probably not, but we can dream.
Yeah.
The tight ends this week were kind of – I mean, they were some as expected, but number one was Conklin, two was Gesicki, three was Kelsey, four was Kittle, and five was Andrews. And Conklin was one because, of course, he was. Why wouldn't he?
I didn't even realize that. I'm just looking at that like, that's not real.
I mean, I will say this, 72% of snap share, eight targets, seven receptions, 70 yards, and he had a touchdown. He almost had a second touchdown. He was, like, tackled on the three, which would have made him the clear one. He is actually – he's a waiver target for me just because of the amount that he gets used.
I can't do it.
We'll talk about this because I have a whole list. I write an article every week about waiver pickups and injury reports, and I have the percentage that they're owned in leagues and all that sort of stuff. We'll go over that a little bit later, but I just wanted to mention that Conklin is one of those guys where if the week before you see a certain number of percentage of the snaps and you see a certain number of target share, that just makes like drop a couple dollars to see if it's going to be the real deal, because Kirk seemed to really like him. Kirk went to him not just when he was wide open. He tried to fit it in. So I kind of like that. Gesicki, 66% of snap share. He had 12 targets, but he's only like a Band-Aid play to me. If Tua's there, I'm not playing Gesicki.
No, I drafted – Will Fuller came back. They had more weapons, and Gesicki finally got involved in the offense, and I think it's because – Jacoby can't push the ball downfield like
Tua. I agree. I 100% agree. I think if Brissett is playing again next week, which I believe he is.
Yeah, well, yeah, because Tua's on IR.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, I don't see a world where they have another guy playing. It's going to be Brissett for at least the next 2 weeks. I think Gesicki can be a viable option for you. After those 3 weeks, I can't speak for it, but if you need a tight end, I mean, Gesicki's – here's the thing. Gesicki's owned in a lot of leagues. He's just like
clawing. See, and I drafted him and
– No, you didn't spend a lot.
And no, I waited. I mean, he fell, and it's like he's finished as a top eight tight ends, I think, the back-to-back years. And it's like you have to hope that he's the middle-of-the-field guy. And
yep. Then obviously Kelsey, I mean, 87% of snap share, 17 points, 11 targets, 7 receptions, over 100 yards. A touchdown makes him the clear one again. Like, that'd be 3 weeks in a row he's the tight end one. Kittle finally showed up.
Yep.
And then Mark Andrews, I'm not going to say finally showed up. I mean, he's been around, but I mean, when Marquise Brown was not catching the football.
Hey, Ian, how's Cole Kmet look right now?
That's rough, because even with Dalton, I don't know how Cole Kmet. I mean, I think he's talented, and I think that he could be a good tight end in the league.
He was one of the problems yesterday.
Oh
my gosh, it was not good.
But that's tight ends. Do you have anyone that you're like looking to talk about for tight end wise? I mean, Gronk is, again, he got hurt and he didn't look amazing. But
Gronk's already been picked up. The guy that you need to look for is depending on the league, he's 5-7 right now on the year. Dawson Knox.
Yeah, I can get behind that.
He has scored 2 touchdowns. He's gotten, like, you know, 50 to 60 yards. But he is going to be – he's going to finish the year as a tight end one. Might as well just have him and stream him every week that you can, because that offense can just go bananas.
Yeah.
And he's – it's not Max Williams bananas. Like, I don't get, no, don't go after Max Williams. Dawson Knox is actually a really good receiving talent in his third year. So that's when tight ends kind of have a chance to become more viable. If everyone's worried about Diggs, Sanders, Gabe Davis, Singletary out of the backfield, Dawson Knox is the last man, and he knows to extend plays for Josh Allen, and that makes him incredibly valuable.
All right, so those are our top five in each position. We're going to move on to a game. We're going to play a little Would You Rather, all right?
This is disgusting.
And some of these are kind of fun.
These are disgusting.
I'll ask the question, and I'll get your answer, and then I'll give you my answer, all right? So, okay, if you had to start one of these two players for the rest of the season based on like how you're feeling right now, would you rather start Jonathan Taylor or Melvin Gordon?
Jonathan Taylor.
Jonathan Taylor or Chris Carson?
Jonathan Taylor, because I believe their offense should be founded on the run and their defense should get better. The Seahawks defense is awful.
It is awful.
So it's going to be a shootout every week.
I'm with you so far, Jonathan Taylor, on those first two. Jonathan Taylor or James Robinson?
Give me Jonathan Taylor. And if Jonathan you can trade well. James Robinson for Jonathan Taylor, do it. You will thank me later.
And then Jonathan Taylor, Nyheim Hines.
In PPR, this
starts to get a little.
This is interesting because I wondered what Hines would be doing in this offense. They just paid him like $6 million a year. Austin Eckler type money.
Yeah.
And I think they envision him in an Austin Eckler like role. Excuse me. He's the wide receiver 1A. Michael Pittman's 1B.
Oh, we lost you here for a second.
In standard, JT all the way. In any form of PPR, it's hard for me not to love Hines. Because last year, he was running back 15. So, Hines, JT in standard, Hines as an equal in PPR.
As an equal, okay. Which so just then, silly. Sure. So I mean, I'm assuming. So you're just gonna say JT for both of those? If like, yeah. You know, it's like I'm also. I think I'm JT across the board here. Nyheim Hines, like you said, for PPR, it is a little tougher, but I have to have faith that they're gonna figure it out. I mean, Jonathan Taylor is talented. I don't understand. Here's the thing: they were starting to get the run across this week, and then they stopped running the football with JT. I mean, he only had nine attempts. So if they're going to do that, that worries me, but I cannot imagine that would be their game plan. So, okay. So we're going to do this again. So Mike Williams is the guy. Would you rather for the rest of the season in your wide receiver 2 spot, let's say, plug in Mike Williams or Brandon Cooks?
I'll take the upside of Mike Williams. He's tied to an incredible quarterback.
I am also going to take Mike Williams, although I think like your floor is probably better with Brandon Cooks. I mean, they have no one else. If you're like, if you're pairing it with somebody who you know is going to get you a lot of points, like Devontae Adams or, you know, something like that, I'm okay with taking Brandon Cooks. But if I had to start rest of the season, Mike Williams is probably my pick. All right, Mike Williams or Hollywood Brown?
Mike Williams.
Really? See, I also think Mike Williams, but Hollywood yesterday show. I mean, Hollywood could have had the exact same game. I mean, if not more, if he caught
Rondale
those
Moore comes back.
Or you mean Breshad Perriman?
Rondale Moore. No, not Ron. We both said it wrong.
Oh, Bateman. Rashad Bateman. We just completely mixed up. Okay. Yes, exactly. We knew exactly who we were talking about. No, he does come back, so and that concerns you a bit. I think that's a fair concern.
Yeah, Bateman's got the talent to.
Mike Williams or CeeDee Lamb?
CeeDee Lamb. And I here's, think I'd have to. And here's the really tough part. I said this on the Kirk Crew Fantasy Football Podcast. Kellen Moore does not give a crap about your fantasy football team.
Oh, no.
He cares about winning games. and he is going to play to the weakness of the defense. So week one, you can't run, so I'm just going to try and throw all over you. Week two, Chargers, they have a great secondary, great pass rush. Let's run the ball at them. This week, Darius Slay is known for shutting down Amari Cooper. They got better in the secondary. That defensive line is great in the pass rush. Not terrific against the run because of how they run their front. And they don't have great linebackers, so they're running all over them. So as long as you understand when to play CD, he's going to be a smash play in those weeks.
Right.
Like the Washington football team, absolutely. Dial that up, and you get that twice. But there's going to be other times where it's just not good. I think you can start Mike Williams every week is going to be the thing.
I was just looking just because I was curious about CD's production in this game. I saw he had one target and one reception, which I was like, that's not great. But then I saw it was for 44 yards. I was like, that's CD Lamb. Okay. And then the final one here, this is kind of fun. So Gronk the rest of the year or Kyle Pitts?
Gronk. And I hate saying that.
I think Kyle Pitts, too, the touchdown upside.
I was just talking about, and that's exactly it. I was just talking about this. I was out on Kyle Pitts being relevant.
Same.
But I traded for him because I watched the tape. That guy might be the most athletic receiver in the league right now. He's not definitely even 21. The most
tight end. Is he not 21? He can't even drink alcohol yet.
Yeah. They couldn't even say, he's not 21.
Can't even have a beer sponsorship.
He's doing things that are not physically possible. So as soon as they figure out, we need to give this guy the ball, he's going to explode. Watching his tape, I didn't see it just because of the competition he faced in college and how Trask would just throw the ball to him and he came down with these balls. I'm like, this is just because it's college. That catch in traffic against the Bucks, like adjusted and was still in full stride. I've never seen anybody make a play like that. Like George Kittle had one against the Raiders a couple years ago, and this was behind the back. That one was at least in front of him. He did the same thing, but behind him. I've never seen anything like him.
I really think, Kyle Pitts is just one of those players at this point in time in the season. I've already come to terms with I'm willing to be wrong on him, but I am hard planting my foot in the ground that this year won't be his year. I know he's athletic. I know that he is a talent, and I know that he will
be. But he's going to be a top six tight end. He's going to get the yards because he gets touches the ball. He gets 20 yards.
Oh, yeah. He's getting the targets. Now, this week, an exception. I think he was only targeted 3-4 times, maybe. And it didn't look great. But that offense is in shambles. And I'm really – I mean, their backup is Chosen Rosen. So I don't know. Like, they're not going to pull Matt Ryan, I don't think, just to play. They're not going to play him.
They have $40 million in him next year.
Right. So I'm just saying, like, they're not rebuilding technically. I mean, I don't know what they will spend their money on. Maybe an offensive line. Or I don't know what they'll spend their pick on. Maybe an offensive lineman. But that defense isn't great either. That whole team is just – I can't – Pitts is the talent. Great. I mean, if you see a guy in the draft, I am never opposed. You go get your guy. I get that 100%. But, man, when your team is, like, in the state that Atlanta is in, I can't imagine going to get an offensive player like that. But that's our would you rather. I thought that was kind of fun. We'll try to do that once a week. We'll both come up with some. Week 4 waiver wire targets. I have a list here, and I want to hear like some stuff from you as well, because some of these guys are targets, some of these guys are avoids, in my opinion. I've taken the ownership percentage.
I'm seeing this list, and I'm just going. I glanced over it, and now I'm reading it. And I'm like, what are you?
Some of these guys are avoids. Some of these guys are ads. The percentage is the thing that's most important to like me and how I want to represent this. I took NFL. Fantasy app, and I took the Sleeper Fantasy app, and I took these players' ownership percentages and I averaged them out over the two leagues to let you kind of have an idea of if these players are even available to you, how, like, if they're out on your waivers. So for QBs, first and foremost, I'm talking about if you need a QB stream, like these are not like, oh, pick a bum off the waiver and maybe and like play them week in, week out. But I'm looking at Heinicke, Brissett, Teddy Bridgewater, and Darnold. Teddy Bridgewater against Baltimore, that's like the line I'm drawing. I mean, I feel like that could be a recipe for disaster. But Teddy Bridgewater's looked good to me. He's only owned in 19% of leagues. Darnold versus Dallas, I like that a lot. He's only owned in 7.8% of leagues. Brissett against the Colts, that's a revenge game. Mark it. That, he's not owned in like any leagues.
He shouldn't now, be.
He shouldn't be. Like, there's, but I'm just, if you're in a pinch and you have no other guys, you're like, Brissett,
no.
You're out on it on the Colts. No. Why is that?
The Colts have to get it right at some point. That defense does. And Jacoby, the revenge game narrative, I don't buy it.
I don't necessarily buy the revenge game narrative either. I just, it's fun to say. But yeah. I will say that you just said it, that the Dolphins just took the Raiders to the wire. I think the Raiders are better than the Colts. The Colts have not shown me a thing this year. The Colts,
they went down to the wire with the Seahawks and the Rams. You can't say that they haven't shown anything because the Rams turned around and spanked the Super Bowl champs.
Well, they did without Antonio Brown. And, by the way, we never got to talk about that. This team, I mean, that team, Tampa Bay, yeah, they've got extreme talent everywhere. But Antonio Brown helps them in a way that is just immeasurable in the way that he spreads the field. He makes it so these receivers have one-on-one coverage literally every snap. When he's not there, they are able to double team some of these receivers in a way that you can't do with Scott, like if Scotty Miller's on the field, right? So I want to put that. It was also in LA, correct? So I mean, I'm not like, the Colts just are freaking me out because I'm a secondary kind of Colts fan. I usually watch every Colts game. I'm a big Jonathan Taylor truther.
Yeah,
I am. So maybe that's just some bias, but I guess maybe this is my emotional hedge. I'm giving Brissett the possible stream because I need the Colts to be like, this is not where we die. And then Heinicke versus Atlanta. He's only 7.5% owned. I mean, as long as he's got Terry McLaurin, I mean, he can score you points. I mean, Heinicke scored you 20 points this
somebody,
week.
Yeah, if he needs somebody, it wouldn't hurt. But yikes.
Yeah, I mean, again, there are quarterbacks are kind of, I mean, honestly, all four of these guys could be top 12 guys in the right circumstance this upcoming week. It's just because that's how the quarterback position works. But, I mean, it's just not as likely. Do you have any quarterback waiver wire pickups that you want to shout out?
Darnold is somebody that I would highlight. This,
yeah.
They got rid of Dan Arnold. CMC just went down, meaning that they're confident in their weapons, and that means Terrace Marshall is going to be out there a lot. He's possession guy. He's been throwing 300 yards a game and 300 yards a game and two touchdowns, and somebody who they're comfortable running on the goal line, clearly, and get you a rushing touchdown.
Yeah.
Do it.
I'm in on it. Okay, wide receivers. Josh Gordon is only 5% owned. I'm assuming that will go up now that he has signed by the
Chiefs.
He's
only worth a sign in Dynasty, and
yeah.
Unless if you are people like our league. And they've and refused to delete him.
Okay, AJ Green. This is his second good game with the Arizona Cardinals. He's 50% owned, which is honestly, when I was doing the research for this, I was a little surprised by that just because of how last year ended and how the first game of this year ended. Is this fact or fiction? Is AJ Green a relevant fantasy option moving forward on the Arizona Cardinals?
No.
I agree with you. I think Christian that he Kirk will is, have his weeks.
Yes, Christian Kirk is the two. But depending on how they work this whole thing out, they're going to have two guys go over 100 yards. Nuke didn't do it last week.
Yeah.
And Christian Kirk and AJ Green had days. Yeah. He's throwing for 350 to 400 yards a game. It's going to turn out well. My personal bet would be Christian Kirk.
I would also agree with that. Christian Kirk is on this list. He's 52% owned. If you're picking between the two, if you're having like a real crisis here, Christian Kirk, I believe, is the guy. A little bit of statistical analysis here for you. Christian Kirk, his rookie year, he played a majority of his snaps in the slot. That was the year where everyone's like, oh, look at this guy play. They moved him outside due to injuries the last 2 years, and then obviously he got hurt, so he hadn't played a full season. If he stays healthy this year, they've moved him back into the slot where he thrived his rookie season. If that continues and they keep using him this way, I really like Kirk's chances of being a solid wide receiver too. Emmanuel Sanders is 45.2% owned. I'm not going to say don't go get Emmanuel Sanders if you have a wide receiver need, like for a flex. But I'm also going to tell you, if you're in a fab league or you've got the number one waiver priority, I don't think I'd use it on Emmanuel Sanders.
No. He's somebody you can play. I would rather have DeSean Jackson than him.
See, that's – yeah, I could see that too. DeSean Jackson, it gives you that touchdown upside. 100, like, but he, you know that he's only going to get like three targets. I think Emmanuel Sanders is sketched in for a couple more targets than DeSean Jackson, but it's just about how they'll use them. Emmanuel Sanders isn't going to be like that deep shot touchdown guy, so kind of pick and choose how you want to build your team out. Sammy Watkins is 40% owned.
Jalen Hurts just threw a touchdown. I am now.
It's Zach Ertz, of course.
And that's fine because it wasn't Sanders and it wasn't. So right now, I am 1.01 points away from coming back and winning this. So
we wish you luck.
Yeah.
So Sammy Watkins, 40% owned. Again, nope. I'm not spending a lot on Sammy Watkins.
Don't get Rashad Bateman if he's out there.
I would agree, especially if you have an IR slot. Like, yeah. You can go get him now and put him there until next week. And then Bryan Edwards, 14% owned. Go get this man. Go get Bryan Edwards.
Go get this man. He's passing the eye test. And Carr's throwing for 400 yards a game, and he's only had two 100-yard receivers. But when clutch throws need to happen, he's going to Bryan Edwards. He looks like the red zone target, more so than Waller is. He looks like the big play guy that they want to go to. Now, Ruggs will sprint down the field.
Right.
He is Allen Robinson.
Right, yeah.
Type player.
I had Bryan Edwards on my waiver wire pickup list last week. I have him on my waiver wire pickup this week. Last week, he was 6.2% owned. This week, he's only 14% owned. So, I mean, you're only going to get so many chances at this if you think that this guy's the guy. If he has another solid outing while the Raiders continue to play like they have, he's going to be 60% owned in a couple weeks, and you're not going to be able to get him. You're going to have to trade for him if you really believe him. Okay. Do you have any wide receiver ads that we didn't mention here?
Yeah, I mean, the DeSean Jackson one. I mean, in that offense – Robert Woods has not been used. No. Van Jefferson.
I think he's been like the wide receiver, I want to say like 46, 52, and 65 over the last 3 weeks.
It's been awful. I would consider Van Jefferson or DeSean Jackson because that offense is – they're burning it down.
Yeah. Okay, running backs. Chuba Hubbard, 1% owned. This is if they would have put Christian McCaffrey on IR, he'd be a definite pickup for me. The fact that they didn't, if you need a running back.
If you are running backs, absolutely desperate, yes, go get him.
Or if you're the Christian McCaffrey owner.
Yeah, no, which would make you running back desperate.
It would.
Probably.
Now, and here's the thing. One thing that we know about this offense, Matt Rhule, and the Panthers is that they're not going to change their game plan just because Christian McCaffrey's not there. They didn't with Mike Davis. They're not going to for Hubbard. Now, Hubbard still looked good. I mean, it was against the Texans. I mean, they threw him the ball. He caught what is thrown to him. If that's all they ask him to do, you know, like they don't ask him to do too much, I think he'll be a good play for you just based on usage alone. But again, you're going to be paying high fab dollars if you really want a shot at him at this time because everyone's going to be going for him with Christian McCaffrey out. Be very careful how you spend your fab dollars.
Yeah, I wouldn't be chasing running backs this week. Peyton Barber, no. They're resting Josh Jacobs. Like, unless there's something different comes up later in the week, they were smart and rested Josh Jacobs in a game that they thought they should have walked away from much easier. The early pick six and blown assignment on the Malcolm Brown run, they had to come back in this game, and that's not what they were anticipating having to happen. It speaks very well to when Josh Jacobs comes back, though.
Yes. Now, the one thing, again, Peyton Barber, 7% owned. If it is confirmed that Josh Jacobs is out and you need a running back, I would grab Peyton Barber, yeah, only because Clyde just ran for 100 and something yards on this Chargers defense.
And Zeke and Pollard combined for like 200 yards the week before. So
yep, so they're going to be able to run on them. Peyton Barber looked pretty good, all things considered, for the Raiders. It's a Band-Aid play. It's not like a long fix for you, but it might be worth a couple fab dollars. And then Alexander Mattison, I don't think Cook will be out again, but if Cook is out, he's 55% owned, and I'm assuming a majority of those are Dalvin Cook owners.
Yeah.
But I also want to mention it because he did have a great game. The Seahawks defense is bad, but he did it without scoring a touchdown. So, I mean, that's
if you are like six wide receivers deep and you're like, do I get Emmanuel Sanders or do I roster somebody like Madison or Hubbard?
Right.
Those would be the two guys that I would let those guys sit on your bench, even if you're not the owner, because if those guys go down, you know what opportunity you're going to get.
100%.
Yeah.
Do you have any running backs you want to bring up that aren't listed here?
He's probably taken, but Sony Michel, if he got left alone, he just got all the opportunities. Now, Henderson was out, but he got all the opportunities and did well against a Bucs team that is known for shutting down the run like crazy.
Yep.
So I think he's going to be very effective in that offense. I've been all in on him for a while. Well, since he got traded.
Sure. Tight ends. So obviously, Conklin is going to be a waiver target for a lot of people because of the way he played this week. He's owned in about 0% of leagues. It was a combined like 0.1 and then 0.6. So I mean, less than 1%. Again, for me, if you're like in a league where you get a keeper or something and you're chasing the next big tight end, I don't think Conklin necessarily will be the next big tight end, but you look at usage, 72% of snap share, you look at the target share, 8 targets, Kirk has liked tight ends before for them. Big Irv is out. I think that if you're chasing it, Conklin might not be so bad, but you're going to be paying a lot to get him in Fab just based on the week.
Yeah, I would rather go get Austin Hooper, who we have on this list. I think that they're going to find out how to use him as a red zone target more.
I would agree.
And he's been getting about 6 catches a week. And I was actually, before I traded for Kyle Pitts, I was going to stream Austin Hooper. So it actually would have worked out.
Yep.
Better for me this week, but I don't think it would long term.
And then I've got Tremble on this list. Tommy Tremble, 0% owned. The only reason I would take a look at this is just because Dan Arnold was traded away. And if you're in a dynasty league, I won't mind it.
Nope.
Well,
in a dynasty league, yes.
Redraft is like, man, unless you're in like a 16 man league, it's really like. You're taking a dart throw. But again, this is one of those guys that's 0% owned, so you don't have to be on the race for the waiver wire. I think like in a lot of leagues, you'll probably have the opportunity to wait until Saturday and like see if there's any reports about scheme or anything that like makes you go, oh, maybe I want to take the shot on Tremble. Like, this is not a race to get Tommy Tremble. Do you have any other tight ends you want to bring up?
No.
All right. Well, then those are our waivers. This next one, you know, start sit. It's a pretty common thing done through fantasy football. I don't really have any off the top of my head, but I was curious for you and me. Start sit. Do you think like Allen Robinson the rest of the year, just based on how things have gone? I mean, what kind of guys are you starting over Allen Robinson moving forward?
A lot of them.
Right. I think like, and that's really tough to say. I mean, you didn't spend a ton on Allen Robinson. I mean, you spent third round draft capital, which is it's a decent chunk, but it's not like he was on the first or second. I think, like, there are guys, especially because wide receiver depth is pretty deep in a lot of leagues. There are guys you grabbed in the fifth or sixth who might be outperforming, who you feel comfortable that you can go. But obviously, we're going Mike Williams over Allen Robinson rest of year. We're going CD over Allen Robinson rest of year. Are there guys in your mind that are kind of like, it's kind of tough maybe to justify?
I'd start Brandon Cooks. I mean, he, at this point, he's a wide receiver three until further notice. You almost have to play him because of the draft capital. But oh, aside from that.
Sorry, you might have to repeat that. It looks like we lost you. Yeah, we lost you for a second.
I would say that Robinson's a low-end wide receiver three.
Just for the rest of season.
Forward until he proves otherwise. It just how I saw this offense playing out and just how I've seen Allen Robinson get targeted and used, it was, all right, when all else fails, our best option is throw the ball at Allen Robinson as much as we possibly can. Mm-hmm. And they're not doing that. And it's like Allen Robinson is our best player. Why on earth would we not be doing this? You know, he's not going to re-sign with this team. If you have him dynasty, just be patient. He will be back next year.
Yeah. So for rest of the season, if you're looking at Allen Robinson, you go Allen Robinson or Brandon Ayuk?
Ayuk,
really? Okay. Let's see here. What about K.J. Osborne?
No. I'd still have to go Allen Robinson.
Allen Robinson or Tim Patrick?
Boy, with the KJ.
Right, the Hamler.
Yeah, the Hamler injury. That's tough.
See, I think I still lean Allen Robinson. I think they're close enough where I'm going to take the talent, but I agree. It is, that one's
tough. Well, and let's see after this week. The Broncos really haven't. Broncos opponents have a 0-9 record.
So yeah,
they haven't exactly been playing great. They've gotten some time to figure things out, but their best players have gotten hurt at the same time.
Yeah, that's also true.
We'll see.
Okay. And then let's see. Other start sit kind of things. Christian Kirk, we already decided, is the two. Do you think there's any chance that Rondale Moore overtakes him as the two as the season goes? I mean, this last week was not promising in the sense of,
you know, you always want, I'd be comfortable playing him in a PPR setting because of the fact that he's going to get peppered with targets. He's going to catch the ball short. He may end up with 6 catches for 40 yards. 10 points isn't a killer output, but then he also has the option of, as he gets more and more involved in routes and concepts in this offense, he's going to have opportunities to use his explosive abilities.
Okay. We're right here at about an hour. I think that's going to do it for our show. We have another segment. It's like we're going to be moving into like a boxing kind of format here where we're going to have some fights between the two of us. Just tease it for next week. Next week, we're going to come in after, you know, after 4 weeks, it is kind of the kind of a quarter of the way through the season. We're going to look at our dynasty rankings moving forward, like where people have fallen and where people have risen, just based on what we've seen. And I'm sure those are not going to be the same for us, so there's going to be a lot of fighting on that. Is there anything else that you want to go through before we take off?
No, I think that I just want to give everyone an update right now that I am I am 1.6 points behind. Cowboys have the ball with 2 minutes and 30 seconds left. So, Zeke, if you could just ice it with a touchdown for me, and then Hurts come back with a touchdown
the
on
ball.
The other side.
Nope. All right.
I need this.
All right. Well, then, like we said at the beginning of the show, you can listen to us anywhere you listen to podcasts. We're also on YouTube. Check out our Twitter at Fantasy Fight Night. Also check out at Adam Sky Fantasy and check out at Andy Heidemann on Twitter for fantasy updates. We're out of here.
And next time I'm not wearing pants. I'm wearing shorts.
I'm not wearing sweatpants.
I'm wearing sweatpants right now, and I'm roasting because I have to turn the AC off.
Oh, that's right. So you can record.
Yep.
Goodbye.
Bye.